Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey is generously underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Chapter of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights, who do so much for the Catholic Church and its many and various ministries, have expanded their support to include the radio evangelization efforts of KLUX HD Radio. Our thanks to the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus for underwriting this segment of Our Shepherd's View.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little. And Bishop Mulvey's unable to be here with us today, so we have as our guest Jaime Reyna, the Director of Youth and Hispanic Ministries for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. On our program today, we'll hear the Gospel from St. Mark and talk about the youth ministry in our diocese. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Diocese of Corpus Christi frequently has a number of job openings listed on their website, diocesecc.org. Some positions are temporary, some are part-time, and some are full-time with full employee benefits. For job summaries and information on submitting your resume, visit the diocese website, diocesecc.org, and click Resources and then Job Openings.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Jaime, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Barbara. Thank you for letting me be here.
Well, I think this is the first time you've been on Our Shepherd's View, so it's great to have you. As I mentioned, you wear a lot of hats. You're the Director of Youth Ministry and you're Director of Hispanic Ministry, and today we're going to talk about your role as the Director of Youth Ministry.
Oh, yes. I'm very passionate about that ministry.
Wonderful. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. Mark, and with the miracle of technology, Bishop Mulvey will read this gospel. So let's prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, for the listeners that have just tuned in, Bishop Mulvey was unable to be with us today, so our guest is Jaime Reyna, who's the Director of Youth Ministry in our diocese. So, Jaime, how long have you been the Director of Youth Ministry?
Well, it's going on 9 years, just about the same time that Bishop Mulvey was here in our diocese as well, too.
Oh, wow, how wonderful. So you've had the opportunity to really work together
on this ministry. Yes, that's true. Yes.
So what is the purpose of the Office of Youth Ministry?
Well, you know, a lot of times people get that confused. When it comes to youth ministry, we work with middle school age kids as well as high school age kids. And our purpose is to be a resource and a support for parishes and parish life, to be able to look at curriculum, to be able to provide retreat formats, as well as anything that are ideas to bring young people together in fellowship, but also to grow in their faith and to be an active community member in the parish life as well as in their own family life. So kind of what we do is just be able to see what do parishes need help with, and we try to bridge and help with that.
Mm-hmm. Big responsibility because we have a big diocese and a lot of parishes. So are there youth programs in every parish within the diocese?
No, actually there isn't. And we do have parishes that do have both middle school and high school youth groups. We have some parishes that only have middle school, and then we have other parishes that have high school. At the moment right now, we are probably about 60-65% of the parishes that do have some form of youth ministry programming. Mm-hmm. And most of them are high school age youth groups. But yeah, for whatever different reasons, we do have some parishes that do not have a youth program.
Well, and a lot of it, I would think, could be if they're smaller, some people just don't know how to get involved or to start one.
Probably so. There's probably some people who, because of different resources, maybe there's been a shift change in parish life. Maybe the pastor has moved. Maybe there's funding issues. Maybe there's a lack of resources. It varies from time to time. And I think what we've noticed is that there's strong youth group programming that's happening, and then we have some of those parishes say, wow, we've lost and our numbers have gone down. And sometimes it's because maybe they had a strong youth group attendees, and then they've graduated out, and then the new ones that are coming in are probably, it takes a while to get formulated. So there's different reasons why sometimes a youth program does work and doesn't work. But for the most part, what we've always seen is if we've got lay leaders that invite and are willing and trying and are consistent, they'll always be able to bring in some of the youth.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we were discussing before we started this program, you and Bishop had some focus groups. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. This is wonderful because in preparation for the Synod of 2018, which is Young People, the Faith, and Vocational Discernment, that's going to be happening in Rome in October of this year. Last year, we started a survey that was in conjunction with Vatican to be able to reach to young people. Pope Francis said the church wants to hear from young people and challenged all the bishops to do the same. And so Bishop Mulvey had asked me to see if we could coordinate such a thing, and we did. We had about 119 and 91 young people as well as lay leaders that took the survey last year, and it was amazing to see the results of their responses to some of the questions. But we took it a step further. Bishop Mulvey wanted to hear from the young people why some of those responses were such. And they were things from challenges and barriers that they were dealing with to maybe what they'd like to see the church changing. So we went to several parishes in the diocese, and we went to some of the college locations, which were the Newman Centers in Beeville, Corpus Christi, and Kingsville. And it was just beautiful to see how young people have this fire and this passion, and they want to connect with the church. And yet somehow we're missing a bridge here. There's something why sometimes we're not able to hear what they're saying, and they're not hearing what we're saying. But yet when we came together in these focus talks, it was beautiful to hear how these young people want to serve the church and feel connected, but that there's some sort of miscommunication from time to time. And these focus talks were amazing, and it opened our eyes to hear in detail their perspective on some of the questions.
Do you feel that, of course, Bishop was with you. Do you feel that some of the young people might have held back a little bit, or were they pretty forward about what they said the needs were?
You know, in the beginning, we were afraid, and Bishop was afraid that because of his position, that people were not going to be open. So I moderated, and we realized that young people, once they started talking and they felt like we were not there to judge, but to just listen, we didn't correct anyone. We just opened the conversation. Many of them just started sharing more and more. Some of them even got very personal about why they didn't go to church. Some of them got personal about their situations at school or at home. And it was one of those moments when Bishop and I looked at each other and said, this was beautiful. And even Bishop Mulvey told these young people he doesn't want to stop these focus talks. He wants to be able to continue them because of how open they were. And I believe that it's one thing when you see something on paper. It's another thing when they share with you. And we left there feeling that they shared a lot, and they were grateful for his presence in a small group setting to be able to share with our shepherd. It was wonderful.
Well, it is great that they were wonderful and they were truly honest, because if they were to tell both you and Bishop what they thought you wanted to hear, then that defeats the whole purpose.
Oh, yeah, no.
So that's wonderful that you sent that example to them, you know, and they felt that it was a safe environment for them.
Yes, it was. And I think some of the things that just affirmed for Bishop and myself was that one of the things that was talked about a lot was social media. With young people right now, they just feel like social media is such a big part of where they get their information. And that's one of the weaknesses that we have at the diocesan level, and maybe at the church level, that we're not reaching more young people through social media. And I know social media has sometimes can be used as a negative tool, but the young people are also looking for it for information because in their lives, they're dealing with things on a daily basis. And they want answers to how to help them overcome some of those daily obstacles. And they're looking for the church through social media. And sometimes we're not always there. Or maybe we don't give the answer that they're looking for because maybe we're waiting how we can best respond. But young people are looking for answers. And so I know Bishop Mulvey and myself noticed that we need to be more active in our social media campaign.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that we're not the only diocese that is hearing this from their young people. I mean, is this something that other dioceses are maybe sharing about social media? You know, if one finds a platform to address some of these sticky topics, you know, it can be shared with other dioceses?
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. We are not the only diocese that are looking at this. As a matter of fact, at the most recent meeting with all the bishops, the USCCB, that was one of the topics. They had some of the young people who participated in the pre-synod at Vatican with Pope Francis that represented the United States. They came and spoke to the bishops, and it was the same topics, the same concerns. And these are, and when we talk about young people, we're talking about ages 16 to 29. That was the demographics that Pope Francis had asked us to look at. And so these were young people who were in their early 20s. Some of them who were, one was just married, another one who was a, maybe you could say a cradle Catholic. And then there was another one who just had family members where they were not all Catholic. And they had so many different perspectives of Catholicism and the way they were brought up. And even Pope Francis had invited some atheists, people who left the church or people who didn't believe in God, because he just wanted to dialogue with them. And so all the bishops heard the same thing. And it was beautiful because you could just tell the bishops were so attentive to everything that the young people said. And one of the things that just came as an overall message from young people is like, we just want to build a relationship with you. And let's start where we can meet first and then go from there. And young people are just hungry for authentic relationships.
How wonderful that it was the same message.
It was.
Yeah, it was the same message. So one diocese can't say, this is what's happening in my area, and the other one says it was just all the same message. So I'm assuming that you'll be getting a lot of support also from the USCCB on programs to put together that you'll be able to implement here, or information.
Correct. And I think that's one of the things that's uniting us all together is it's almost like I would say in football, it's like this halftime. We're huddling up saying, what can we do moving forward so that we can definitely be able to reconnect with young people? Because we do acknowledge that we are losing some young people and we just need to know why. It may be a simple thing of a miscommunication or misunderstanding, but I think that we're identifying that they have concerns or issues and we should be able to address those. And I think after our focus talks, we have this plan that we're wanting to work with.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
Well, Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop Mulvey was unable to be here with us today, so we have as our guest Jaime Reyna, who's the Director of Youth Ministry. And Jaime, in the first part of the program, you were talking about the survey that was filled out by some youth and lay people in the parishes last year, and then you went a little further than that, and you and Bishop Mulvey had some focus groups. And so you found some great information out about all of that. Why don't you talk a little bit about the synod that's going to be happening in Rome and refresh us as to what a synod is, and this one is about the youth, as I understand.
Oh, yeah. It's about the young people, the faith, and vocational discernment. And so in 2018, in October of 2018, our Holy Father has called several bishops to come together in a session to be able to discuss specifically about young people. And so the synod sometimes has a focus talk that our Holy Father calls in bishops from different parts of the world to come together and to help and assist how the church can view the particular aspect of young people in the 2018. I know the last one that we had was about family, and so we had a synod as well too. So there's always a focus point. And so because of it being young people, that's why Bishop Mulvey and myself were looking at a survey as well as how can we take this as an opportunity, almost like our diocesan synod, which it was, to collect the information, to have the discussion, because ultimately at the end, it's a plan of action. What can we do moving forward to help better serve the young people in our diocese? And of course, with the big synod is how do we help our young people around the world? How does the church help the young people? And we can bridge together and work together moving forward.
Well, and of course, as we all know, the young people are the future of the church. You know, the rest of us are getting older and they're aging too, but they're the future of the church. And so we want them to be a part of the church, but we want to also understand why they're not participating in the church. So it sounds like there's some great work being done to try to identify that.
Well, and we're reminded that as much as they are the future of the church, they're the present as well too. And that's why a lot of times, maybe sometimes we as lay leaders or parents or adults, we look at young people and we say, oh, well, they're great. They're going to be our future. But in reality, they are present, and young people make differences in today's world. No matter what their ages are, I see myself from time to time watching these news clippings of how a young person saw something, a need or a challenge, and then that young person took it upon themselves and made a difference, whether it was raising money, whether it was a drive to collect items, whatever it was, it didn't matter their age. It was like they were just passionate about it, and they made a difference. And so what the church is trying to say is that these young people can make a difference now. And so our hope and prayer is that we as adults, whether it's priests, whether it's deacons, whether it's parents, whether it's teachers, whoever, that they look at the young people have gifts here and now, and how do we work with everyone's gifts? Because they really want to share their gifts with us.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of action are we going to be taking in the diocese?
Well, it's beautiful to look at that, because at a diocesan level, we know that we collectively need to grow more in our social media aspect of it. Depending on the different parishes and maybe the lay leaders, whether they're strong in that or not, everyone's at a different level. But I think we all can say that we could do better in that area. The other part of it is how do we bring young people to the table? So one of the things that at the diocesan level we're looking at is how do we bring young people into participating in the evaluations of our future retreats, maybe even upcoming events? What would they like to see? And through our focus talks, many of them said that they want to hear today's social issues through homilies or through youth group talks. Many of them enjoy and like that they have a youth group or they have a Newman Center, you know, a place where they could come together. But one of the things that many of them brought out is we're not talking about today's issues enough. And many of them want us to just be truthful. They don't want us to water it down. Many of us don't want to tiptoe. They just say, please be truthful with us. And that was something that was an eye-opener for us, because a lot of times, you know, when you're dealing with hot topics or issues that are addressed on today's media, we think, wow, maybe they don't want to talk about it. It's already been talked about so much. But young people want to know, what do we in the church feel? Like, how do we handle this? How do we address this? How do I make a decision based on this issue? And they just want to know the truth.
They're looking for guidance.
They are. They are looking for guidance. And many of them even are talking about how they wish their parents would be more forthcoming or even give guidance as well, too, because in some of the focus talks, kids are being raised by grandparents and not by parents.
Right.
And some of them are dealing with their own issues at home, and they're lacking that, so that they're looking for it through the church or through us as a family members with being the teachers that we are, maybe in religious education or the youth ministers. They're looking for us to give them that guidance as well, too.
So for any of our listeners out there, if they're with a parish that doesn't have a youth program, we really want them to get involved if they're feeling a passion for it. And I would think that they don't necessarily have to have children, or their children could be grown. If you have a passion for it, talk to your pastor.
Yes, one of the things that when I get calls about a parish that doesn't have a youth program, and sometimes I get them a lot from family members because they have a teenager now. Before, it wasn't that much of a concern, but once they have their own teen, they're like, wow, I need my teen to be involved in something. And then they look in their parish, they're like, we don't have anything. So then they call their youth office. And what I ask them is, have you spoken with your pastor? And many of them didn't. They went straight to me. And so I redirect them, because every parish, they need to work together to see what is it that's lacking. Is it maybe they don't have a building? Is it funding? What are some of the barriers that they are lacking? Maybe they just don't feel like they have the right person in place. So what I always ask them to do is to have that meeting and conversation with their pastor first. And then they pray about, do they need a youth ministry program that's targeting middle school? Do they need a youth ministry program that's targeting high school? What do they need? And then start small, but do it well first. And the youth office at the diocesan level, what we do is provide the support and resources. Maybe we provide training for those lay leaders who are interested. We provide them ideas of retreats that the diocese is already doing that they could piggyback on. And then sometimes we could even let them know how maybe a neighboring church, they can partner together. We actually have some parts of our diocese and the deans, we actually have two or three parishes that are working together. And instead of having one youth group in each parish, they're actually uniting and having one youth night among those two or three parishes. So they're sharing their resources. They're sharing the talents. And guess what? Teens love to meet other teens.
Right.
And so one of the things that they just did is, hey, our group got bigger. So this one church may have two or three kids. This other church may have 10 or 12 kids. And then this other church has maybe 15 kids. But you put them all together in one night because they're only separated by a few miles, and you have a huge youth program, and they're all sharing the resources, the expenses, but also the blessings, because right. they're working together with all these different gifts and talents, and that may work.
Right, right. So that's what we want to have happen. Any of our listeners that are interested in this or have a passion, talk to their pastor.
They talk to the pastor, because once they start talking, maybe the pastor was praying, God, send me that person who can lead this. Because as I speak to the pastors, it's not that they don't care about a youth program. They just don't know where to start because they're waiting for that right person. Or maybe they don't know, is the need higher for middle school or high school or both? And so if you feel like you want this to happen, pray about it first, meet with the pastor second, pray again to see what comes up on it. And once we start moving forward, everything else, the doors will open, because it is something that we're listening to God's calling, and everything else will open. And the diocese is there as an extra resource there. So you're not alone in this journey, but we can definitely move forward once you've connected with your pastor.
You don't have to recreate the wheel.
You don't have to. And many of them have thanked the diocesan office because they're able to piggyback on several of the trainings or resources, like retreats that we provide two or three times a year. We provide outings that are related to our Region 10 events that happens outside our diocese. We even plan like some World Youth Day events as well too. So we can do all these things at a diocesan level for parishes to participate, but it doesn't beat the events that happen at your parish level. And that's the part where I challenge any family member. And you don't have to have a kid to be involved in this. You just got to want to have a love to serve young people. And that's enough to at least start off.
And that's a great point that you had, because many people may be listening to this or may have been sitting in church thinking, well, I don't have children, so I really can't be a part of it. Well, they can.
Yes, they can. And they have a lot of wisdom to share with young people. But the one thing that I do challenge people is that to communicate, it's a two-way street. You have gifts to share, but also young people have a lot to share too. So we have to be able to receive what they're willing to share and meet them at the point where they're at. And we're there to kind of help represent and guide. But the beautiful thing about a relationship is that young people want to share. And we live in a world where there's technology and we think we're communicating, but we're not really communicating effectively. And when we talk about relationships, young people are yearning for authentic relationships. And I believe that when they go to Newman centers and youth groups, they connect because there is that authentic relationship scenario where they can come together, they share their faith, they share what they're going through them, and then they're praying about what God is leading them to.
Mm-hmm. We just have a little time left, and I just want to touch a little bit about what's coming up in January, some of the World Youth Day events, because it's in Panama, and as I understand it, our diocese won't be going there, but yet you have planned some events.
Yes, yes. And so one of the things that our Holy Father and Bishop is Movi would like for us to do is how can we at the diocese level connect with the International World Youth Day? And so in our webpage at the youth office, we're going to have some locations in the deaneries, different deaneries, where we're going to celebrate with the International World Youth Day. And it'll probably be in months in preparation for January, but the World Youth Day 2019 is in Panama, is in January, but we're going to come together and pray and celebrate, have music, have talks, reconciliation and mass so that we can pray for those pilgrims.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
Yes.
That'll be wonderful. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned.
Yes, stay tuned.
And for any of our listeners, if you go to the diocesecc.org and there's youth ministry and you can click down and you can see all of the information and keep up. And reflect on whether you feel that you can do something in your parish to help our youth. So thank you, Jaime. Father James Stemmler is going to end our segment this morning with a closing prayer and blessing.
Show favor, O Lord, to your servants, and mercifully increase the gifts of your grace, that, made fervent in hope, faith, and charity, they may be ever watchful in keeping your commands. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jaime, for being with us today, and thank you to our listeners for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a beautiful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
The preceding program, Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey, was underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus, predominantly in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We at KLUX HD appreciate the continued support of the Area Knights of Columbus, and in particular, their underwriting of this segment of Our Shepherd's View.